Well, hello everyone. My name's Austin. I guess I'm worship leader here with my wife, Courtney. Say hello, Courtney. Wave at the people. Just honored to be here tonight to be able to minister the word to you guys. And, Lord's given all of us things to impart and share with one another, whether you're on a podium or whether you're just talking behind someone in the pews before service. You all have a part to play in God's plan. You know, just one word can change somebody's life. That's all it takes. One word. And you can make a difference for them eternally. Just one act of love. I mean, that's all it took for Christ. I mean, one act of love and my sins are forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven to be with God forever. You know, I now have salvation, prosperity, blessing, health, all these things through an act of love. How much more so through you, amen. Don't ever discount your ability to impact people. Just the same anointing that's in us, the same love that was filled in Christ is in us. God gave us all a measure of his love, amen. The same love that Christ used, the same love that we have and has been imparted to us. So let's be responsible with it and give it out, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the title of my message tonight is called, Is Judging Others Hurting Your Faith? Is judging others hurting your faith? And I guess what I mean by that is there any death, destruction, stealing, bad, damaging things going on in your life? If so, who is the cause? Who is the perpetrator here of all those things? Does it come from God? Is it from him? As far as what I can tell in the scriptures, he is the author of anything that is good. And anything that is bad comes from the devil. Now, sometimes we bring that upon ourselves and allow the devil to have access, and that's kind of what I'm going to get into. But God, you got to understand, is a good God, to start with that basis. The key scripture I'm going to be going and using tonight is going to be Matthew 7, 1 through 5. I'm going to read in the New King James. And it says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck of your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, if you look at the beginning of this, he says, judge not. Why? Why does he want you not to judge? So that you don't get judged. And it's kind of something you could probably debate with a lot of people is, well, can Christians really be judged? We're under the blood of Christ, aren't we? Can we really be judged, you know? Isn't it kind of like, well, whatever I do now, you know, is kind of just under the blood and I don't really get judged for anything anymore? Ooh, well, that can be answered in a lot of ways, but I always like to answer questions with scripture, amen? The best way to interpret any scripture is with other scriptures, amen? Because if you just have one verse that says, well, don't ever judge anybody, don't ever tell them, you know, their sin is wrong and just a free-for-all, now you can go and do whatever you want, you know? Just because you have one verse like that, and then you have 10 others contradicting that type of mindset, challenging that doctrine, don't just go with the one, you know. Read other scriptures that go against it and try to reason it out. You know, that's what our goal here is, to reason and discern the scripture, to interpret rightly. That's what we all want. We all want to interpret rightly the scriptures. And how do we do that, of course? The best and really only way is with other scriptures, amen. And it helps when you get to know the character. The longer you serve God, the more you get to know his character. You know, kind of get to know things that he would do and things that he wouldn't do. Just like if I got to know you, it's like I'd begin to understand things that you would do and things that you wouldn't do. If somebody told me, oh, they did this and said that, I'd be like, I'd probably second guess if it was something pretty crazy. Like, I've known them for a long time. Yeah, you can usually start to tell if someone starts to fall away. They don't just go from angel and ministering and being an encouraging person to all of a sudden being this murderous, stealing, awful person. There's usually a transition between something like that, and you can kind of see the decay in character over time, you know? So the longer you get to know God, the more you'll see that he is true in what he says, that he is good, that he is just, that he is a fair, good God. Amen? Hallelujah. So why don't we want to judge? Primarily, we don't want to be judged. It says, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. In the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. You know, all you got to do is look around and understand that there are plenty of Christians who are being judged. How can you say that? Well, I see destruction in their life. I see loss in their life. I see damaging things occurring in their life. Well, what is that? That is judgment happening on them. That is the devil having his way. If God's will is for nothing but good and there are bad things happening to us, somehow or other, they are under judgment. And what I want to do tonight is help us to get to that understanding of why are they under judgment. If we are under the blood and we have Christ, what things are we doing to allow us to be judged? Amen. You know, most churches and most people would agree that it's wrong to judge others, right? Do not judge, you know, especially if you're the one being accused of something. You know, what's your first response? Don't judge me. What right do you have to judge me? And then you start trying to think back of all the things that they've done wrong to use as ammunition against them to make them look like a hypocrite, right? That's typically what we do, especially in relationships, in marriages. You know, you watch people and it's like, I want to be a person that becomes more loving towards my wife and more like Christ towards my wife. Because with people, you have a tendency to want to be the opposite. The more you get to know them, the less patience you want to have with them because you know their little flaws. You know the little things. You want to be less gracious, less forgiving, and kind of hold that and use it as ammo against them. It's like, that shouldn't be. The people I want to love the most are the people closest to me. You know, it's like, and the strangers maybe love the least, you know, it's like, I don't really know them yet, but I mean, I still want to love them good, but I want to love people that I love, like, and show it the most. But don't turn that and make it the opposite. Well, they just agitate me, and now it's okay for me to let loose and just kind of be more myself. You know, God doesn't want us doing that. We want to be more gracious and even more forgiving now that we understand why they kind of do the things they do, why they say the things they say, you know. But most people would agree that judging is wrong, that we should not judge others, especially when it comes to judging me in particular, you know. Bible says don't judge. Don't judge me. Now, when people say don't judge me, what do most people say in response? What do you think the number one answer is for that? Don't judge me. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. I'm not judging. I'm just saying. It's very interesting. Because you find when you look in the scripture, the really almost the only thing it correlates judging with is saying something. If you are judging, speak not evil against your brother. Stop backbiting. And it always references right before that. It says, do not judge. Don't bike bat. Don't bike bat. Backbite. Don't speak evil of. Watch your mouth and what you're saying. It's always watch and guard your tongue, because usually speaking is the form in which we use to judge most things. Thinking a thought and trying to rationale whether or not someone is doing something wrong or not really is not the act of judging. You know, think of yourself in a courtroom, and there is a defendant, and there's the other guy, and they're going back with this evidence for that one, and then this evidence why that isn't the case. They're reasoning. You know, they're going back and forth trying to come to a conclusion, right? And a lot of times we do that in our heads. We're trying to come to a conclusion of why that person did that, why they said that, why they are that way. We're trying to come to conclusion whether or not we should judge, not judge, don't say anything, do say something. To have thoughts, you know, analyzing the situation, analyzing the person is not necessarily judgment. Now, if my motive, because a lot of times it comes down to the motive in my heart. If I am reasoning for the sake because I want to make them look stupid, then I'm kind of already judging in my head and just trying to find a good way to release it, right? Because words are containers. They contain things. I can say, the sky is blue. And it looks like I'm saying it with happiness. I'm filling my words with happiness. I could say, the sky is blue. And I could fill those words, you know, I could fill words with any type of emotion, any type of thing. You can fill words with wrongful judgment. But anyways, going in a courtroom, it's like we want to come to a conclusion of whether or not this is right or wrong. Because, you know, we learn from other people's mistakes, don't we? You know, look at the Bible. Why do we read the Bible? I have to kind of judge the people and what they're doing because that's the whole point of the story, so I can learn from their mistake and come to a conclusion that what they did was wrong. I don't want to fall in the same footsteps. So at the same point, God tells me not to judge, but at the same point, I have to judge in order to know, in order to do what's right or wrong, I have to kind of judge what is right or wrong. You can't say something is wrong if you haven't judged it in the first place, right? You have to come to that conclusion. Well, God helps us come to the right conclusion. It is His judgments we want. Amen. Because we can come to our own assertions, our own conclusions of things, but a lot of times those are wrong. Why? Because we're not all-knowing. We don't have all the facts. You know, it's like in court, you are innocent until you are, what, proven guilty with enough facts and evidence and support to verify the claim coming against you. Well, it's the same way, you know, with God and us as far as judging. We don't really have a right to judge most things. Why? Because we are not all-knowing. We do not know all the reasons why they are doing what they're doing. I mean, you can go into just any example you want and say, you know, I'll use my own examples. I'm driving down the road. Someone's driving slower than the speed limit. My instant reaction is, what are you doing? You come on. You know, I just want to get mad and upset. And then I come to the realization, have I ever done that? Have I ever not paid attention for a second? You know, of all my years of driving, I can tell you I have. And I get mad at people when they do it because they do it often. And I only did it, you know, I only do it a very small amount, very rarely, you know. But there's times when, you know, it's a rough day at work or you're just beat. And you're just like daydream. You never like driven somewhere and you got there. You're like, how did I get here? I wasn't even aware that I was driving this whole time. I've done that a couple times and it's kind of scary because I just went autopilot mode. It's like, I hate doing that because I understand that I'm driving a 3,000 pound vehicle and I can easily kill someone if I'm not paying attention. It's like, it's a serious matter to be driving heavy machinery around. Our cars are heavy machinery. So what right here? But here I'm trying to judge somebody for going slow or making stupid mistakes. Oh, look, they messed up on that turn. They went down the wrong side of the road. Anybody ever done that? I've done it. And I see other people doing it. I'm just like, you stupid. How can you possibly? You weren't paying attention. But I've been there. I've done it. And it's like, man, you'll find most times that it's hard to judge someone because you end up being a hypocrite because you have been there, done that in some shape or form. Let me find a scripture saying this. James 2:10-13 says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." What? What? If I mess up in one thing, Lord, I'm guilty of all the law? You know, we tend to have this scale of, like, degree of severity. And it's kind of right to have something like that as far as, you know, different consequences for different things. You know, if someone, you know, accidentally jaywalks, I don't want them serving 25 years in prison. You know, versus a guy that murdered somebody and we're going to give them 25 years in prison. It's not really just. The punishment doesn't really fit the crime, you know, as far as our scale goes here. Now, when it comes to sin, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. For God, if you have transgressed and committed one thing, whether you gave place to the rich man up front instead of kicked the poor guy in the back because he looked a certain way, you know, you're going to get the same punishment as someone who stole or someone who was in adultery. Why? Because we have transgressed the law. We are a transgressor. We became a sinner at that point, and God just sees sin. And sin bears what? Death. That was our death penalty. Sinning was our death. But there's good news. I don't like saying all the bad stuff. You know, it's like we're talking about a lot of judging, a lot of things, but more so for the sake of answers and how we cannot be judged by certain, how we can get ourselves out of under judgment. It says, "For whoever shall keep the law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." This seems to line up with our first scripture in Matthew when it says, "Judge not or you will be judged." And it says, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown mercy." You show mercy and you will receive mercy. What is kind of the opposite of judgment? It is mercy. It is basically forgiving someone of something wrong, something they have done, a debt that they owe. To show mercy towards someone is to forgive that person of it. So to get all upset about what other people are doing and to speak out against or negative about them and what they're doing, you have acted like you haven't done anything. And that's just not true. You know, if we want to be godly and be spiritual, you know, we have to be honest with ourselves, right? Usually when you point the finger, like you say, you got four more pointing right back at you. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. I've been a hypocrite enough times in my life, and it's a lousy feeling when you get to that point and you're like, you say something against someone and you're like, "Oh, ooh, ouch, I should have kept my mouth shut because now just something came to my mind where," and how did I get into that trouble in the first place? My mouth. I spoke, right? The temptation to judge is crazy. It is... Every opportunity, man, it's just, man, my flesh just wants to judge anybody and everything at every point in time. Every second somebody says something, I want to give my opinion. I want to give my two cents. I want to give my judgment on the situation. But who really has the position to judge someone? That's kind of what we'll get into. And think of in your life, who has the right to judge you? Typically, it's people that have a position over you. How about your pastors? Do they have a position to judge you? Well, it depends. The Bible says, submit yourselves one to another in love. Why would I want to submit myself to a pastor? Because they're given the task to look after my soul. They can see things that I don't. They can see from a perspective that I can't see. So I am trusting them in love to submit myself to them so that they can speak into my life. If I don't submit myself to them, you think him coming up and trying to speak into my life is going to be really of any effect? No, I'm just going to say, that's your opinion. I have my way of doing things. You know, we need to be humble towards one another. Let's read Galatians 6:1. And it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. In a spirit of gentleness. When you submit yourself under a pastor, you know, they should be the kind of the more gentle person that you know. They should be, what, the more caring, loving, trying not to offend you, but yet still trying to speak into your life about things that are going, you know. It's a tricky situation to try to speak into people's lives about their sin. Because the goal isn't to bring up their sin. The goal is to change the behavior of what they're doing so they start walking in blessing. They start walking in healing and stop walking under judgment, because judgment's happening. If, you know, why am I submitting myself and coming to him for advice? Chances are there's something wrong in my life. There is some form of judgment happening that the devil's having his way in. There isn't protection in a certain area, and I'm going to him to try to figure out, why is this happening? Well, chances are he's probably going to have to bring up some part of sin that's happening in your life. And well, that's not an easy thing to usually receive from people. Well, you're messing up in this area. You know, if you're humble, you'll want to receive. The humble are what? Teachable. The humble love correction. They love instruction. Why? Because it benefits their life. It brings them out of these destructive things that are happening in life and helps bring them into blessing. Amen. Prosperity, healing, all these things that we want in life. And being humble gets us to those things. So a godly person doesn't want to broadcast other people's specks, other people's planks in their eye. That's not the motive of why they're saying what they're saying. So when I go to someone in need of help, or someone comes to me and just wants to tell me about kind of something that they see in my life that isn't beneficial, if they just come to me and say, hey, you're doing this wrong, bro. You should probably change that. You know, you're just failing miserably. You know, how much am I going to receive that? Not much. A wise person, yeah, will still receive from that, you know, and they'll take in the good that they're saying something that may be true to check your heart. But the rest of it and the negative attitude and the condemnation, I just spit that right out because that's not the way God would do it. But hey, there's some truth to what they're saying. Then whatever, I'll swallow what parts are good and necessary for me to grow. Amen. But the godly, spiritually person wants to see that person restored. How do you know when you're judging someone in a negative way? Well, chances are you're not saying something to restore to them, to bring, add value to their life, to help them get out of a situation. Usually you're saying it in spite, out of complaining, or, you know, just angry, out of, you know, all these negative emotions that, you know, why do we normally speak out in an outburst? Well, because we're trying to judge them in a negative way. We're not trying to edify and to build up. So back to who has the right to judge? Who has the right to judge you? Does the government have a right to judge? Well, who has God placed over you? God's placed actually a lot of people over you. Pastors, governors, city officials, presidents, leaders. He said, obey their laws. Obey them. It's right to do so. Now, when all those laws directly go against what is morally wrong to God, whose laws do you obey? Well, God's over there is because he is in the higher authority. You know, it's like if you had a general telling you something to do and then some lieutenant telling you what to do and it contradicted what the general had to say, well, I'd probably go with what the general had to say, amen? Why? Because he's the higher authority. And if it comes to going to court and being a big stink over it, well, chances are it's going to be favorable to my side because I went along with what the general said. And then the lieutenant's going to end up getting reprimanded. And then if we're going against something, they can figure that out. So just go with the higher authority. Well, what's the higher authority? The higher authority is love. But God has placed people over you. People don't like that. Well, I answer to no man. Yikes. Well, if God put someone over you and he's the top dog, well, then you do. That's just what it is. If God put someone over you, then that person has charge over you, and you should listen to them, because if you don't listen to them, that means you're not listening to God. It's a chain of command thing. As far as a judge goes, to having to be able to judge, you know, over you, where do I want to go with this? I got so many notes, so many places to go. I'm kind of going all over the place, but whatever. Lord help me. It's a big topic. It's something that I want to figure out, because there's a lot of fine lines that have been hard for me to figure out between what is judging and what is not. As far as me judging others, in most cases, I am not over other people. God has given me personally over worship team, in which I am submission to the pastors, over my wife, over my kids. That's about it for me personally. Is it all right for me to judge my kids if I had kids? It is. But Bible says don't judge. Well, no, don't take that to an extreme, because in another verse he says, judge rightly. Don't judge out of wrath, out of, you know, there's a lot of wrong ways to judge, but he has placed you in places where you are responsible for judging, but there are also people over you who are responsible for judging your deeds. If I do something illegal, I commit a crime, guess what? The county, the state, the federal government has a right to judge me, right? That's just, we don't want just a free-for-all. It'd be craziness out there. It'd be absolutely insane. People would be trying to get away with murder, with stealing. This law, this judgment helps us stay safe, protects us, gives us guidelines, gives us a safe area in which to conduct our lives. You know, God is a just God, and justice sometimes demands judgment. God would much prefer mercy, in which we judge ourselves to where he wouldn't have to judge us. You want that to be great? You know, if we just could judge ourselves before the courtroom date and work it out with the person that we did something illegal against? This is actually what the Bible instructs us to do. Let me see if I can find this scripture here. Let's see here. Where is that? I know it's somewhere in here. I got like a million scriptures. Let's Just bear with me here. Here we go. Luke 12, 56 through 59. He says, "Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do you not judge what is right?" This is that scripture. Why do you not judge what is right? Judge rightly. "When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there till you have paid the very last mite." So basically he's talking about someone that has done something illegal or wronged somebody, and that person is wants to bring them before the court. And God's advice says, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge. What's it going to take to settle with somebody that you've wronged? What do you think? You think they're just going to just let it slide without an apology, without you admitting you did wrong, without you showing compensation for what you stole, It's going to take mercy from their part to not bring you to the judge and have you sent to prison and pay every last bit. So God urges us. What does he urge us to do, even as Christians? That's why you say, go to one another, confess your faults with one another. Why does he tell us to do that? Because God doesn't want us being judged. Because if we judge others and are not forgiving towards others, now opens the door for us to be judged. Well, can Christians be judged? Yeah, I think it's very clear looking in people's lives that there is judgment going on. You know, look at Job's life. Job's life is all, everything in Job is a lot of judging going on. You know, Job somehow gets the judgment of God on him, and then his friends come and they stick around and judge him, and then Job tries to judge God, and what does God say to him? He starts asking all these questions. Do you even know how the earth was formed, when it was formed, how long it's been around, and all these things? Like, I can't even answer that, because Job was accusing God of being unjust. And God says, you don't even know the basic stuff that you can see and try to discern for yourself. How much the intricacies of justice? How can you possibly even begin to accuse me of being unjust and unfair, and you don't even know the basics of anything? So then Joel goes, again, how was he judging God? With his mouth. He was speaking negatively of God, accusing God. What does it take to accuse? It takes your mouth. Sometimes it takes your fingers to text. What about an email, in Facebook, in Twitter? That's the same thing as speaking, using words. But Job had fallen under judgment. How did Job fall under judgment? The same way the rest of us fall under judgment. What does the scripture say? Judge not, lest you be judged. There is an area in our lives that we are judging other people, other situations, other leaders. Anybody watch the news lately? What is news? News is like nothing. News is nothing but judging. That's all they're doing. They're just giving their opinion. They're trying to downplay, trying to criticize, to humiliate. They are negatively talking about other people. That is all the news really is. It's like, how much of it is edification, building up, and encouraging? Well, none of it, really. You know? So the same measure, Bible says, at which you judge others, Bible says, you yourself will be judged. So if you're wise, you'll go to them and repent and judge yourself and ask if you can make this right. And if you can, then you are spared of being judged. Bible base says, repent or perish. It says in Luke 13, 1 through 5, there were present at that season some who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered such things? Basically, Pilate had sacrificed some Galileans and along with his other sacrifices that he was doing. It's kind of Jesus answering the question of why do bad things happen to good people? You know, we ask the hard questions. God, why did you let this happen? How could this be? Is this under your will? And yet we know from Scripture over and over in hundreds of places, you see, it's nothing but God's will for you to be blessed, for you to live, for you to prosper. God wants nothing but good for your life, you know? So how come these bad things happen to bad people? So here's Jesus kind of answering the question. He says, I tell you, no. Not just, you know, were these worse sinners than anybody else? No, he says. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's an interesting answer. He gives another demonstration or something that happened. Says, or those 18 or whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, do you think that they were worse sinners than all the other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So here we had a freak accident. Some building must have collapsed on 18 people. You know, and people ask the question, you know, was this God's will? Right? It's kind of a legitimate question kind of to ask, but kind of not at the same time. For those who know better, no, it's not really legit because we know the answer. But what about people who don't know that answer? Was this part of God's will? Did they happen to die because they were worse sinners than other people? And what was Jesus' response? Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. So you're telling me if they had repented of something, they would have lived? That seems a little odd, don't you think? Well, what does repentance guarantee you? When you humble yourself and judge yourself, that provides mercy, does it not? Well, what is mercy? Mercy gives you protection. You know, if you look at Job's life, the moment things turned around for him when his sores got healed up, what was the turning point of all that, of all the judgment in his life? He repented before God. The second he repented, all his sores went away. He had double the amount of wealth. He had more kids than he first had. It all seemed to turn around the moment he repented. It seems like repenting allowed protection back over his life. It allowed healing back into his life. It allowed prosperity back into his life. Because there was judgment taking that away. There was the devil running around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's what he does night and day. You know, Job's account gives us a little glimpse into the back scenes of what is actually going on. It says the devil was up in heaven accusing Job, accusing him, trying to build a case against him. How many know that's what the devil's trying to do against you? He's trying to build a case against you. But he says, Job has like a hedge of protection around him. I can't get through anywhere. I can't build a solid enough case Why? Because there was mercy over Job. But somewhere along the line, Job had got away from judging himself, from mercy. And now the devil had free rein in his life to do things. But the moment he repented and judged himself, all that came back. It was all restored back to him. So how do we use that in our own lives? Are there people that you have ought against who you are holding unforgiveness towards? Because I'm telling you, it's going to hurt you. It's going to cost you a lot more because the devil's trying to build a case against you. He's waiting for the moment that you judge, because God's word says, whatever man sows, that he reaps. Whatever measure you judge others, see, he can't get God to judge you without you judging somebody. He can't get God to judge you without you judging somebody. He has no case. Without your help in judging somebody, he has no case against you. He has no access to your life, no access to your finances, no access to your health, no access to anything. So back to the title of my message, is judging others hurting your faith? So at the same time, we have our faith going on. And we are believing God for things. We are speaking things, standing on his word. But yet sometimes we see death and destruction still in those areas. And we don't get it. And we can't compute, God, I'm in faith. I'm speaking the right things. I'm believing the right things. But yet, this area of my life is still, there's still destruction going, there's still loss. How am I not financially secure yet? Why do I still seem to always keep getting in debt, in more debt, and this is happening, my health, and chances are, we're not repenting. The Bible talks about, let not the sun go down on your wrath. That's something I just learned today. I was listening through Keith Moore sermons here on judging. Strongly recommend, man. But there is a window of opportunity. Remember when this person was dragging the person to the courtroom? There was a window that God was telling the person being dragged, saying, do everything you can to resolve this before you get to court. God says the same thing with us. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Why? He doesn't want it to get to the courtroom. He wants you to handle it and judge yourself. Because if you let it fester for a day, a two days, 2 weeks, 2 months, guess what? You are going to eat the consequence. The devil is going to have a heyday with you, because he's bringing that to court, baby. He's going to cash in on you letting the sun go down in your wrath. You have a time to where God is withholding judgment for you. He's giving you opportunity to repent. Let me see if I can find a scripture here. Time to repent. Revelations 2, 18 through 23 says, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write these things, says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, your love, your service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allowed that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols, and I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Whew. Wow. That's some serious stuff. But notice he said, I gave her time to repent. And she did not repent. Now, when you look at men of faith back in the Old Testament, do you know that you can actually give people more time to repent? When they are doing things in their life and destruction is happening in their lives, you can go on God's, on their behalf, and plead to God to give them more time to repent, because you see the judgment happening in their lives, and you think, oh no. You know, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God delayed judging the city just based off because, who was it? Lot. Because Lot asked him to. For no other reason. He extended the time of mercy because God doesn't want to see judgment on somebody. God doesn't want to see bad things happen to us. It's not his will for that. And if you have someone pleading to give that person more time to repent, you think he's going to go for it? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He wants to see them restored, to see them walking in blessing and life and health. He wants those things. And so when you plead on someone's behalf, God, give them more time. Give them more opportunity to repent, to judge themselves so that they don't get judged. You know, that's God's heart, man. What does Christ do for us? He intercedes on our behalf. You know why we don't get judged near as quick as it just we do something bad and then boom. Christ interceding for us on our behalf. He's pleading with God all the time. We got family members. We got grandmas. We got friends pleading with us. God quickening people's hearts, putting them on our hearts. And all of a sudden we pray for them. What's happening? We're trying to delay judgment on them so that they can repent themselves, so they can humble themselves. So is judging others hurting your faith? There's a couple, you know, we're trying to do the right things as far as faith goes. I wanted to get more into faith tonight, but I just felt more to stick with this because we talk a lot about faith here. You know, but how often do we talk about judging ourselves? And, you know, it's a little more not as exciting and give you the goosebumps type of message. But I don't know about you, I'd rather have less destruction in my life than have the goosebumps at church for an hour. Hey, man, a lot of times I want the goosebumps because all those things that are happening in my life, all the stress, all the problems. Well, I can just get less problems if I just judge myself and realize the consequences of not doing so. Amen. It takes humility to judge oneself. It takes honesty looking at yourself and the motives of why you're doing things. What time are we at here? Am I getting late? 56? It's pretty good timing. All right. So I just want to kind of wrap things up. You know, don't judge people that God hasn't put you over, first off. Just try to make this easy on who you should be judging, who you shouldn't. God has placed you over certain people. Everybody you're not over, don't judge them. You know? Let the pastors do it. Let the government do it. Let the Holy Spirit do it in their hearts and convict them. Amen. If you are going to bring fault against someone, do it what? In a spirit of meekness and gentleness, knowing that you have committed and transgressed against the law. You are guilty of all the things that they have done. The very thing that you're going to go talk to them about, the Bible says you're guilty of it too. Well, that kind of makes it easier to go and tell them, you know, I've been there. I've done that. I've said something that like that. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want that, see you bear the fruit of that in your life, you know? So just, if you're going to bring people's issues up, do it in a spirit of meekness and gentleness and point the fingers right back at you. I've been there. I've said things like this, you know? Amen. Keep a guard over your mouth, because most likely most people judge using their mouth. It's all throughout the scripture. Every time there's judgment and shortly after, don't say they were speaking negative. They were speaking evil, speaking corrupt things towards your brothers. Watch your mouth. Be slow to speak. You know, people that talk too much and they want to come home and blab about that and complain about this and talk about this went wrong and that went wrong. It's like, chances are there's going to be some judgments in there, right? The more you talk, the more flesh can have its way pretty easy. Amen. So try to limit down to what things you talk about. Think, you know, try to go through, is this actually going to help anybody, me talking about the bad things that happened in my day? That's mostly what we do when we want to tell, how was your day? Oh, my goodness, this person said that and that, you know. Some days we're in a really good mood, we just talk about the good stuff. But a lot of the days, things are stressful. Things are like, things annoyed you. And it's like, if that question triggers your spouse or whoever to just want to ramble on and complain about things, don't ask them the question. Just better off to let it slide and go off into forgetfulness, right? Amen. So just guard over your mouth and you have way less opportunities to judge other people. Hallelujah. There's a lot more I could go into and say, but I think that's good for today. Hallelujah. Well, Heavenly Spirit or Holy Spirit, we just thank you, Lord, for speaking words tonight, Lord, for getting out your truth, for helping us to interpret rightly, and that we need to begin to judge ourselves more, Lord, that repentance is not a bad thing. It's simply admitting when we are wrong. And we know that is a good, godly thing to do. It goes against our flesh in every way. It screams loud, Lord, but we want to be more like you. We want to give place to the Spirit and walk after the things of the Spirit, and that will yield productive and good fruit in our lives. Because we know yielding to the flesh only brings bad stuff. So, Lord, help us to recognize when we are judging others, to help keep a lid over our lips and to not badmouth one another, and just help us to recognize and to be more mindful and try to edify more, try to build up more and be more gracious and merciful towards others. We ask for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.